there's going to be a fire drill after. I don't know what time to end it. Thank you. Whatever. Well, maybe I won't change. I got you. Thank you. Someone gave it to me. Yeah. Oops, go ahead. Okay. Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari. Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Bihani. Gopi Janna Ballava Girivanadari. Jaya Gopi Janna Ballava Girivanadari. Jasoda Nandana Braja Jana Ranjana. Jasoda Nandana Braja Jana Ranjana. Jamuna Tira Vanachari. Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna. Vishnupada Paramahamsa Brivaja Akachacha Astotha Rasatasisiman is Divine Grace Abhay Charanaravinda Bhakti Vedanta Goswami Srila Prabhupada Ki. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to Sri Guru and Sri Aurangabad. All glories to Srila Prabhupada Namah Vishnu. Padaya Krishna Prasthaya Vitalaya Srimati Bhakti Vedanta Swami Chinamne Namaste Saraswati Devi Gaurivani Vichane Nivishesha Sunyavari Pachachude Sitarane Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. So today we'll be reading, or speaking about at least, not necessarily reading exactly from Srimad Bhagavad Gita. Today, we celebrate the holiday season in many, many ways. We have Christmas trees and reindeer and snowmen and snowflakes and all kinds of things all over the people's lawns and decorations and stuff. But the real purpose of this holiday season, now we call it the holiday season, that's politically correct to say the holiday season. We don't want to lean towards one spiritual tradition or another, so we just take out spirituality completely. But here in our temple and in our hearts, we understand that this is a very auspicious day, this day, Sunday, but every day. Every day is a festival in Krishna consciousness. We don't really need an excuse to celebrate God's presence or celebrate the worship of God. God is in our hearts and in our lives every single day, and we like to keep him in the forefront of our consciousness. But on this particular day, Mokshada Akadasi, we celebrate the conversation that took place between Krishna and his devotee, Arjuna, immortalized in the pages of this Bhagavad Gita, which literally means the song of God. So this Bhagavad Gita, Prabhupada said, let this Bhagavad Gita be your intelligence. So intelligence is supposed to have a position in our life. We have two different kinds of intelligence. We have material intelligence, we have spiritual intelligence. So the senses, their business is to look or smell or taste or hear or touch and then decide what they want and what they don't want. So whatever they see or hear or smell or touch and they become attracted to it, then they say, okay, mind, go for it. And the mind's job becomes to procure that object for the enjoyment of the senses. And then there's the intelligence, and the intelligence, it has a position that it's supposed to discern whether that's actually a good thing or maybe not such a good thing, right? Even materially, somebody says, hey, let's go party, and you have an exam the next day at university, and your intelligence says, maybe you shouldn't go party tonight, maybe you should study because you have an exam. But spiritually speaking, the intelligence is supposed to take us out of this material world, back to the spiritual world in a loving relationship with Krishna. The spiritual intelligence is supposed to become aware of the actual desire of the soul, which is to reunite with the Supreme Personality of Godhead in a loving exchange. And that actually, that relationship, it's what gives us the satisfaction, the happiness that we're looking for. So we see in this holiday season that the spiritual, spiritualness or the spiritual nature of the season has become buried under objects big packages under trees wrapped in bright colors and lights and all kinds of decorations, but we're missing the reason for the season. And the reason for the season is actually supposed to be remembering, developing, highlighting that loving relationship with the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So Gita Jayanti, the victory of Bhagavad Gita. Because Bhagavad Gita, that song of God, teaches us, not only for today when it was spoken, actually, they say that Krishna spoke Bhagavad Gita in about 45 minutes. How long did it take you to chant it? More than 45 minutes, yeah. Okay. So Krishna spoke Bhagavad Gita in a conversation with his devotee. They had an exchange, and it took approximately 45 minutes. And it was in a very unique situation. It was spoken in a battlefield between two armies that were poised to fight each other. And these two armies, they were very unique because they were all in one family. They were all brothers and sisters and cousins and grandfathers, and they were all related to each other. And on some level, for many of them, they were actually very deep loving relationships. Very deep loving relationships. Yet somehow or other, they wound up on opposite sides of this potential massacre. And the devotee to whom Bhagavad Gita was spoken, Arjun, he became overwhelmed with the task at hand, even though for many, many years he was given many causes to be very angry and to want, we could say, revenge, but not even revenge, just to get what was rightfully his and rightfully the duty of his family. But despite the fact that he had every right to be there, it was a righteous cause that he was fighting for. He had just cause to be there. Still, when it came to, and he saw the relatives on one side and the relatives on the other side, then he thought, maybe we shouldn't do this. Maybe this is not a good idea. And so seeing that compassionate nature mixed with material sentiment, Krishna spoke Bhagavad Gita. And that Bhagavad Gita is the guiding light for all of us, for all time, forever. It's not just for that particular time or place or circumstance, but it's given to all of us to act as a beacon for all of us, so that when the senses, when the mind, when we become confused and we start thinking of ourselves in the bodily relationships and we start thinking of the material world as our ultimate source of pleasure, then the Bhagavad Gita can be our intelligence and give us light and guide us forward so that we actually understand why we're here and what is the purpose of human life. Krishna, throughout Bhagavad Gita, he explains the purpose of human life, but he also explains why he told Bhagavad Gita to Arjuna and why he didn't speak it to somebody else. So he says that because you are my devotee and you're my friend, therefore I'm giving you this knowledge, you'll be able to understand it because you have the right attitude. And because Arjuna was able to understand it, and other speakers hearing from Arjuna also were able to understand it, we too have received this Bhagavad Gita as it is, and we are able to understand it. But only if we maintain that right attitude. That right attitude is an essential ingredient for understanding Bhagavad Gita. Bhagavad Gita isn't like some subject that you study in the university where you just memorize it and then you write it down on a test, or even you understand it and you write it down on a test and you have such a lucid understanding, you get an A and then you progress and eventually you get a name and a paper and a degree, and none of that really is relevant in Bhagavad Gita. So Prabhupada, when he first came to America, he was very eager for us to understand Bhagavad Gita, but people were asking him, well, what translation of Bhagavad Gita should we read? And Prabhupada, even though there were over 100 translations of Bhagavad Gita, Prabhupada couldn't recommend any. He didn't feel comfortable recommending any. And the reason he didn't feel comfortable recommending any is because the persons who had written those Bhagavad Gitas, who had translated those Bhagavad Gitas and written whatever commentary they wrote, they didn't have those qualifications that Arjuna had. They weren't faithful. They weren't a friend. They weren't free from envy. Later on, Krishna says to Arjuna, because you're anasuyave, because you're free from envy, therefore you're able to understand this Bhagavad Gita. Therefore I give it to you. So because the translators were not of that mood, they didn't have a loving relationship with Krishna, they didn't want to serve him, they didn't have faith in him, therefore they weren't able to understand the Bhagavad Gita, and therefore they weren't able to give the Bhagavad Gita. But because Srila Prabhupada lived the life of a bhakta, because Prabhupada lived the life of a devotee who had firm faith in Krishna, who had firm faith in the order of his spiritual master, who had the desire to give Krishna to others, therefore he received the mercy of Krishna. And Krishna says that, when I see a devotee who's talking about me, engaging in my service, in love with me, basically, then I give them the understanding by which they can come to me. In the 10th chapter of Bhagavad Gita, Krishna says, Tesham satata yuktanam, that I give them the understanding by which they can come to me. I destroy the darkness of ignorance in their heart with the shining lamp of knowledge. So that's really the qualification for understanding Bhagavad Gita. Because Bhagavad Gita can't be understood. You can't crack it open without the right combination. And the right combination is a love of God, is having faith that by carrying out God's instruction, by getting to know him, you will love him. So there's many different ways to acquire knowledge. And we have so many facilities for acquiring knowledge in this material world. We have, you know, so many different ways to read. Now we can read on an iPad and an iPad and our phone and our computer and so many different. We can carry 100 books with us in a thing this big, right? And we can read and read and read and read and read, and we can still not know anything. Huh? There's different ways to approach knowledge, and how we approach knowledge in the case of this Bhagavad Gita is everything. How we approach the knowledge of Bhagavad Gita is everything. We have to have an attitude of humility. We have to have an attitude of service. We have to have an attitude of gratitude. Because without that attitude of gratitude, without that attitude of service and submission, then Bhagavad Gita becomes closed to us. It's a secret. Huh? Krishna says it's rahasya. It's hidden. It's a secret. And the secret doesn't open up with open says me, right? If I say open up, doesn't mean anything. Bhagavad Gita remains closed. That mantra doesn't do the trick. If we want to open Bhagavad Gita, we have to open our heart to the understanding that we need to serve and take shelter of someone who already has entered in to the Bhagavad Gita, has entered into the Bhagavad Gita. So by Krishna's mercy, we have the association of Srila Prabhupada and Bhagavad Gita as it is. Bhagavad Gita as it is, that as it is part is not to be minimized. That as it is part is a very important thing. Because just like we were hearing the other, maybe even this morning, I think this morning we were hearing, Jayadvaita Maharaj was speaking, and he was saying how different translators of Bhagavad Gita, right, they may have there's 100 different translations, and most of the translations are very similar. The translations are very similar. But when you get to the purports, then there's a world of difference. And you get statements like, Krishna says, surrender unto me, but he doesn't really mean me. He really means the unborn within me. And when someone told Prabhupada he was reading the chant, then Prabhupada said, therefore I say that they are rascals. Because they take the personalism, they take the relationship, they take the personality of Godhead out of Bhagavad Gita. Now, how is it that the personality of Godhead is speaking to Arjuna and saying that aham sarvasya prabhavo mataksim, that I'm the source of everything, if everything comes from me, The whole material manifestation is manifest from me, and then you say that he doesn't exist. It's not possible. Or he says that he's the Sutramani Ganaiva, that everything is strung on him like pearls are strung on a thread. Very beautiful analogy, because when you string pearls on a thread, you don't see the thread, you see the pearls. And so you think the pearls are very attractive, but the thread is what's holding everything together. Without that thread, you just have a pile of things bouncing across. Anybody who's been on the altar, broken a necklace, has had that experience, that when the thread just breaks and then immediately everything is all over, you can't even catch all the beads. It's not possible. You inevitably lose something. So if we don't understand who's holding everything together, if we don't understand the Supreme Personality of Godhead, then how can we hope to understand his creation? How can we help to understand who we are? How can we hope to understand the goal of human life? So because Srila Prabhupada had a deep relationship with the Supreme Lord, and he had a deep compassion for all living entities, Prabhupada took it upon himself to write Bhagavad Gita as it is. And in these Bhaktivedanta purports comes the combination to unlock the Bhagavad Gita. Sometimes we talk about the yoga ladder. When we study Bhagavad Gita, we talk about the yoga ladder in the first, second through sixth chapters. Krishna delineates several different ways of attaining different levels of realization through various paths of yoga. But we talk about Prabhupada elevator. There's the yoga ladder and there's the Prabhupada elevator. Because by Prabhupada's grace, we can go to the top without having to walk up the ladder. We can go directly to the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and we can enter into that loving relationship with Krishna by having a loving relationship with Guru, with Prabhupada and his predecessors. We can actually come to have a loving relationship with Krishna, because Krishna will enter into our lives. The other day we were talking a little bit at class about how the devotee prays to Krishna and says, please remember what I've done. Please, you know, sometimes when we're in difficulty or we want something, we pray to God. And like the kids, they go to Santa Claus now, right? Instead of going to God, they go to Santa Claus. And he says, have you been a good girl or boy today? So the kid is hoping, well, please remember all the good things I did. Don't remember the bad things I did, please. You know, you should remember all the good things I did so that you'll put something nice in my sock or whatever under my tree. So the devotee also prays in the Shri Upanishad mantra in the Bhagavatam. The devotee prays, Lord Brahma prays, so many devotees pray. Krishna, please accept whatever I've done for you and reciprocate with that. And in the Shri Upanishad, in the purport to that shloka, Prabhupada says that even if the devotee forgets to pray that way, Krishna never forgets anything we've done for him. Never. He keeps careful records. And he never forgets any attempt to serve him. And he reciprocates with that. So we can be sure that any amount of service that we render to Krishna, Krishna will reciprocate with that. He will help us out. He'll help us advance in spiritual life. How he helps us advance in spiritual life may not be exactly what we had in mind, but if we have the faith to understand that no matter what he does, it's for our eternal benefit, then we'll gradually be able to understand his hand in our life. And we'll be able to develop that attitude of gratitude and faith and submission that's so necessary to make advancement in spiritual life. There's a very nice story in the Chaitanya Charitamrita that very much illustrates how a devotee can have that feeling for the Bhagavad Gita, the feeling necessary to open up the Bhagavad Gita and not be a great scholar. It's not scholarship that opens the Bhagavad Gita. Yeah, scholarship is a nice thing. Knowing verses is a nice thing. Reading, memorizing. I met one devotee. I think he's Mukhya Mataji is going to help him come to America eventually to do some preaching. But he came to see me, young boy, in his 20s, and he won some Bhagavad Gita competition in India. And he was the number one winner. Many, many competitors. He had a chant. He had to take so many different tests, each word of Bhagavad Gita. He had to chant the whole Bhagavad Gita. He had to break down every word, word by word. He had to answer so many, so many questions. He got 100 on every test, hands down, beat everybody. And I was talking to him, and he was saying how at the final competition, the Prime Minister of India was there. And she was in anxiety because the last four, the fifth place, fourth place, third place, and second place, all went to foreigners. They didn't even go to Indian people. So she was so happy when they called out that the first place was going to this boy from Vrindavan, who was an ISKCON devotee, that she got up and she gave him a big hug. She was so happy that it was, you know, that he got the competition. But you can know the Bhagavad Gita like that, and because he's knowing Prabhupada's Gita and he's so much a devotee, he'll really understand the Bhagavad Gita deeply. But these other scholars, the fifth place, fourth place, third place, second place, they knew Bhagavad Gita very well, better than probably anyone in this room. But they didn't really know Bhagavad Gita. They're not practicing Bhagavad Gita. They're not worshiping Krishna. They're not even vegetarians. Huh? They're smoking cigarettes. They're not serving Krishna in any way with their life. They're just, it's a scholastic exercise. So that's not how we're going to get into Bhagavad Gita. So this Brahmin in Sri Rangam, Lord Chaitanya was coming on his tour. He was in Sri Rangam, and he was noticing, Sri Rangam is very large, very huge temple. And he was noticing in the back, there was this Brahmana. He was chanting Bhagavad Gita every day he was there. And he was chanting it out loud, but he didn't chant it very well. He didn't know Sanskrit very well, and he was making mistakes. And the pandits and the Brahmanas there were making fun of him. They would laugh when they walked by him, and they would whisper, and they would deride him because he wasn't very knowledgeable. But Lord Chaitanya noticed that when he was chanting Bhagavad Gita, tears were coming down from his eyes. And he had so much strong feeling of devotion when he was reading that Bhagavad Gita. So finally, Lord Chaitanya went over and asked him, what are you doing? He said, I'm reading Bhagavad Gita every day, but the thing is, I don't really know how to read. I don't really know Sanskrit very well, and I'm practically speaking illiterate. But my spiritual master told me that every day I should read Bhagavad Gita. So every day I'm reading Bhagavad Gita. From cover to cover, I read Bhagavad Gita. And these other Brahmins, they're so learned, they're so knowledgeable, they see my folly and they make fun of me. But still, it's the order of my spiritual master. So what can I do? I'm chanting. So Lord Chaitanya said to him, then why is it that these tears are coming? He said, because I see this picture in my mind of Krishna and Arjuna, and how kind Krishna is that he's taken the position of Arjuna's charioteer. Just like sometimes we get a chauffeur or a taxi driver. You know, we don't have a loving relationship with a taxi driver when we get in a taxi or a chauffeur. But Krishna and Arjuna had a loving relationship, and Krishna took that position for Arjuna because of his love for him. Because of it. The first time we see Krishna in Bhagavad Gita, we see him as Bhaktivatsala. Arjuna says, take my chariot between the two armies, please. And Krishna says, yes, sir. And drives the chariot between the two armies. No questions asked. He just, on your order, I go. Yes, sir. So when I think of that, when I think of how kind the Supreme Personality of Godhead is, that he's taken this position with his dear devotee of being his servant so that he can speak to him, this Bhagavad Gita, not only speak to him, but speak to the whole world, this Bhagavad Gita. Give everybody this Bhagavad Gita so that they have the knowledge how to go back to Godhead. Then I become overwhelmed with gratitude to my Lord, and I can't help but cry. I can't help but cry. And so then Lord Chaitanya embraced this person and spent a lot of time with him also while he was traveling in Sri Rangam. So this is the attitude that we have to have if we want to open up Bhagavad Gita, if we want to really understand Bhagavad Gita. We don't have to have a lot of scholarship. Sometimes we get worried that if I give this Bhagavad Gita out on Sankirtan, or I give it to somebody, they'll read the first chapter, they won't be able to read the names, and then it'll be a problem. And maybe it is a problem for some people, maybe. But I couldn't read the names, and a lot of other people I know couldn't read, still can't read the names. So, but somehow or other, the essence of Bhagavad Gita comes through. Huh? If you have the right attitude and you approach Bhagavad Gita with a mood of reverence and gratitude, then Bhagavad Gita will become alive. And Krishna will give you the intelligence to understand. Krishna promises that. And when Krishna makes a promise, we can count on it. Huh? Krishna says that he'll help us. I'm sitting in the heart, and I'll give them the understanding by which they can come to me. So that understanding is coming from Bhagavad Gita, of Bhagavad Gita, through the Supreme Lord, sitting within our heart. It's not coming by our scholarship. There's another little analogy that might show us the other side, huh? That sometimes when there's a field with new crops in it, the foxes, they go inside and they destroy the field. So the farmers in the country, they take a big bowl of dough, like chapati dough, you know, big bowl of dough, and they put it at the entrance of the field. And then the fox goes in and he puts one foot in the dough and it gets stuck. And he thinks, no problem, one foot is stuck, but I still have three other feet and I'll figure out how to get all this that I want. And then he puts the other foot in and he gets stuck. And he thinks, no problem, I still have two other feet and I can get myself out of this mess and I'll get everything I want. And then he puts the third foot in. Now he's got 3 feet stuck in the dough and he's thinking, no problem, I still have one more foot, and with this foot, I'll get myself out, and I'll get everything I want. And then he puts the fourth foot in the dough. And now all feet are in the dough. He can't get out. And he starts to scream, huh? And the farmer comes, and then he's finished. So that's the other attitude, the attitude that keeps us stuck in the material world, that we think, I'm feeling some dissatisfaction, I'm feeling some unhappiness, I'm feeling some something missing, then I can do it. I can figure it out. I can get one more thing. I can get some more money. I can get a bigger something or other, and I can have everything I want. And we get more and more stuck until all our feet are stuck, and then we scream out. But what do we scream? Huh? Do we scream to the Supreme Lord, please help me? Because when we scream to the Supreme Lord to help us, Krishna will help us. But if we scream some other thing, then we'll get that thing. And Krishna will remain watching and waiting for us to turn towards him. So this is our choice on this Gita Jayanti day. We can remember the compassion of Krishna to Arjuna and to all of us in giving us this Bhagavad Gita. And we can also remember the compassion of Srila Prabhupada in taking the time to give us Bhagavad Gita as it is and giving us the direction so that we can understand, we can enter in to the Bhagavad Gita in a very real way. We can make it part of our life, and we can make it our intelligence, our guide, so that we don't get our four paws stuck in the dough of the money, the dough of the dough. We don't get confused in the material world. So I was told to ask for questions at 10:02, and I've gone over by a few minutes, but there's a fire sacrifice and so many things, so I'll stop here, and if anyone has any questions, Mukhya Ji, Hari Bol.
I want to tell one more part of the story. About
oh, yeah,
that.
Okay.
It's a very big story. And it's one of the
that's why I tried to make it.
Yeah, I know. One part is Mm-hmm. It's like a 7-part test. And for instance, one part was they give you verses with words missing, and you have to put in the word. Mm. Another part is you have to explain the verse, and these are South Korean prophets who don't explain the verses the way the prophet does, but he explained them the way the prophet does, and he was so convincing that he, you know, won every part. So his prize was 2 lakhs. It was a very big prize. And he took the money, and he bought, by the way,
he mailed them and stuff. He mailed them all over.
He mailed the books all over India. And I want to
not only India. He mailed them all over.
That's why I wanted to come to the U.S. to go to universities and speak about Bhagavad Gita. But I want to say that if anyone wonders how people of every culture on this earth, in every country on this earth, have become devotees of Krishna, it's quite astounding when you think about it. India is pretty small, relatively speaking. This philosophy has only been in India for so many years. It's because everybody has been reading Bhagavad Gita as it is, and it's made people devotees. It's from reading
This boy, he was saying that they were so upset because the older, smarter Brahmins had lost, and ISKCON's baby, he's just a young boy, you know, he's in his early 20s, ISKCON's baby won. And he said, I won because I learned from a white woman in the Bhakti Shastri from Prabhupada's Bhagavad Gita as it is.
Actually, that started this contest because he was doing parikrama, you know, walking around Vrindavan, and there were some boys having some kind of a contest going on. They were shouting, and then me and a friend walked by, and they started making fun of them, saying, oh, you ISKCON boys, you just chant and dance, you don't know any philosophy. And they said, what are you doing? We're having Bhagavad Gita contest. So the friend said, this boy, who's just a baby, can beat any of you. Oh, we don't believe it. Prove it. He got up, and he you know,
And when he first applied for the contest, they told him he couldn't enter. There was no room. And then they wrote him and said, you should come.
Give it a try. Give it a shot. What's his name? I don't remember.
Neither do I.
Can you Google by the way? He'll come to the U.S.
Yeah, he's a really nice boy.
Prahlad Maharaj.
Prahlad Maharaj's name? No, it's not his name. Okay, any other questions or comments? Yes. Oh, Haribol. Not very much, 4,000. He also got a gold medal that's worth a lot more than that, but he's not, he's going to keep the medal. Yes?
Hare Krishna, Mataji, very nice class.
Thank you, Hare Krishna.
What is the best way to apply Bhagavad Gita in our lives?
The best way to apply Bhagavad Gita in your life. There's so many ways to apply Bhagavad Gita in your life. Bhagavad Gita, probably like I started at the beginning, I said Prabhupada said that we should make Bhagavad Gita our intelligence. So that means that when we're confused about duty, just like Arjuna, he was confused about duty, then he went to Krishna and he said, Krishna, I'm confused about duty. I don't know what to do. What should I do? So we can go to Bhagavad Gita like that. When we're confused about duty, we don't know what to do, we can open the pages of Bhagavad Gita and we can find solace. And we can understand that Bhagavad Gita won't tell us which foot to put first or which car to buy or any of those things, but will tell us what to put first in our life. Huh? How to prioritize our life. What is the ultimate goal of life? And what to expect of the material world? Because so much of our suffering comes from misplaced expectations, unreal expectations of the material world. We want something, we think if we do it this way, we'll get it, and then we're let down again and again. But if we study Bhagavad Gita, we read Bhagavad Gita, we'll understand what to expect from Bhagavad Gita, from the material world, and we'll get exactly what we expect. We'll see. It becomes a panorama. And it, in Queen Kunti's prayer, she prays, Maya Javaniva Kachcha. The material world is like a stage, and we're covered by the curtain of the illusory energy, so we don't see who the actors are. We can't recognize them. So when you study Bhagavad Gita, the curtain opens, and you start to see who the players are, and you do recognize them. So you understand that this is inevitably going to happen, right? When you see those people laughing and drunk tomorrow or whatever, New Year's Eve, when you go out on Harinam and all those people look like they're having a good time, and your mind starts to think, maybe I haven't had a good time. Then you understand that's not a good time. And tomorrow they'll be miserable, they'll be sick, they'll be throwing up, one of them will get hit by it. So many, the suffering is coming. The suffering is coming. It may be not coming today or tomorrow, but they're investing in the wrong bank account. So ultimately the suffering will be there. And when you see the material world like that, then you see through the eyes of Bhagavad Gita, and Bhagavad Gita becomes your intelligence. You're welcome, Hare Krishna. Anybody else? You have a question? You look like you're thinking it might be. No. Okay. So I'll let everyone go now and go to the fire jaga. Hare Krishna. Thank you very much. Hare Bol. Srimad Bhagavad Gita ki. Srila Prabhupada ki jai.